If you have your Bibles, you can turn this morning to John chapter 16. We'll get there in just a few minutes. We are in the middle of a series on the book of James. We've taken a break in that series to consider the person, the work, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. More than just doing that to take a break and to do something different for a few weeks, I believe it. I've asked you to believe it with me that this is a timely series of messages. That this is even a right now word from the Lord for us. And I would always want to be very, very careful in saying that. But I can't help but to believe that. A right now word from the Lord for us, the Lord's will for us. As he did his disciples in Acts 1, Jesus today commands us, wait. Everything else paused, everything else put on hold. We enter into our upper room, as it were. We gather together and we seek and we pray for and we ask for. We wait on the gift, his gift. His Spirit. We wait so that we might be filled with the Spirit, baptized, speaking in other tongues, clothed with power from on high. We wait so that the Spirit has time and place and opportunity to perform signs and wonders among us, to confirm the empowered and the anointed preaching of God's Word here by working miracles among us. We wait so that the Spirit can grow God's kingdom in us, and so that the Spirit can grow God's kingdom through us. We wait for the Spirit of the living God to fall fresh on us. We wait for Him to come and melt us and mold us and fill us and use us. It's the question that's begun each Sunday. Jesus tells us today to wait. Would you believe that? And can you believe then with me this as well, that he has? And if we will, all that the disciples experienced, all that they did, all that was done through them, it will be the same for you. It'll be the same for me. It'll be the same new life for us. With that question each Sunday, then this encouragement, would you make it your prayer, Holy Spirit, today? Holy Spirit, for the weeks to come, have your way in me. We're a few weeks in now. Have you given place for the Spirit to have his way in you? I know you have Sunday morning to Sunday morning. If you've been with us on Wednesday nights, I know you have. But have you done that Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday as well? Holy Spirit, have your way in me. Would you make yourself to be super sensitive to what the Spirit says to you? Again, we're a few weeks in now. What has the Spirit been speaking to your heart? Have you been hearing from the Spirit? Are you listening to what the Spirit would be saying to you? Are you sensitive to His voice today? Are your ears open? What the Spirit prompts in you, what the Spirit wants to do and begins to do in you. Would you let down the walls? Would you open wide the gates of your life so that the Spirit can come in? Would you let Him work without restraint? Would you let Him work without limitation? Would you let Him do whatever? That's been the thought for a few weeks now, hasn't it? Whatever. Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do in me, whatever you want to change in me, whatever you want to fix in me, whatever you want to speak to me, whatever the message, whatever the conviction, whatever the call, whatever the work, Holy Spirit, whatever it is, here I am. Do it. Do it. Do your work in me. Have your way in me. This morning, as we did a few weeks ago, would you just stand to your feet just for a moment? We're going to invite the presence of the Lord into this place. Would you just stand? Would you bow your heads? And just, would you do it in your own words? Would you just invite the Spirit to come? Would you open your heart? Would you invite Him to speak to you this morning? Just express that. You in your own word. It doesn't have to be out loud, but you pray this morning. Would you invite Him to come? Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, we need thee. We need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own gentle way. Would you make it your prayer? Just invite, open up your heart this morning. Listen, express to him. Let the Spirit hear from you. Whatever. Holy Spirit, whatever. Here I am. Walls down. Gates wide open. Whatever it is. Whatever you want to change. Whatever you want to fix. Holy Spirit, speak. Holy Spirit, have your way. Just invite him to do that this morning. Give him place. Give him place to speak to you. Give him place to prompt you. Give him place to touch you this morning. Holy Spirit, do that in us. Do all that in us. Have your way. Have your way. Holy Spirit, do the miraculous among us. Would you please? Holy Spirit, would you baptize my brother? Would you baptize my sister afresh and anew in the Holy Spirit? Would you make to come alive again that heavenly prayer language by which they worship God like they never could otherwise, and by which they intercede like they never could otherwise? Holy Spirit, have your way. Call us. Commission us. Send us. Use us. Oh, Spirit of the living God, fill us. Fill us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I just want us to have time on these Sundays to just give him place. Just let him hear from us. Let him hear from you. Holy Spirit, it's not a pastor thing. It's not an our church thing. Holy Spirit, I want you and I need you to come and fill my life. In John 16, he, that being the Holy Spirit, will glorify me. That's Jesus. When the Holy Spirit comes, when the Holy Spirit is present, Jesus will be glorified. This is our message from a couple of Sundays ago. One says it this way: the Spirit works within us to do what is necessary. Listen now. To awaken and deepen our awareness of Jesus' presence in our lives, drawing our hearts ever toward him in faith, in love, in obedience, in communion, in worship, and in praise. If you want more, the awareness of Christ's presence in you, if you want the awareness you do have to be awakened and to be deepened, if you want your heart drawn in faith to him, love for him, obedience to him, communion with him, worship and praise of him, if you want your heart drawn to Jesus, then what you really want is the Spirit to be at work in you, because that, all that, is what the Spirit does, exactly what the Spirit does. And can I caution you here in Ephesians 4 and verse 30, we are commanded to not grieve the Holy Spirit. Surely one of the ways we do that is making our lives not about Christ. Living our lives for the glory of another besides him. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon said this: when you are dealing with the things of Christ, you are on Holy Ghost ground. You are following the track of the Holy Spirit. Get off that track, though. The Holy Spirit will not follow you. Do you understand the magnitude of that this morning? You start chasing after the glory of another thing. You start pursuing glory for you instead of him. And you will leave the Spirit here while you're wandering over there. He will not be with you. The preacher says, oh, my brother, the Holy Ghost will leave you if you stray after insignificant trifles. And isn't it really true? Compared to Christ, every other thing is the insignificant trifle. No matter what it is, no matter how important it might appear to be, no matter how important it might actually be, compared to Christ, it's the insignificant thing. Oh, my brother, the Holy Ghost will leave you if you stray after insignificant trifles. He will leave you if you aim at magnifying yourself and your wisdom and your plans, for the Holy Spirit is taken up only with the things of Christ. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Listen, certainly don't ever leave the Holy Spirit. Let him do his work in you without limit, without restraint. Let him glorify Jesus in you so that you love Jesus more and better, so that you look more like Jesus, so that your life is more surrendered to Jesus, always and only obeying Jesus, serving Jesus, no matter the what, no matter the who, no matter the where, no matter the when, no matter the sacrifice, no matter the cost, without limit, without restraint. Let the Spirit make your life to be consumed with Jesus, devoted and dedicated to Jesus. Above anything, above everything else, Jesus, just Jesus. Your life always and only about Jesus, pursuing always and only Jesus, proclaiming always and only Jesus, trusting, hoping always and only in Jesus, rejoicing always and only in Jesus. Listen, if you'll give yourself to the work of the Spirit in your life today, even every day, if you will, listen, then the Holy Spirit will give you Jesus. And do you understand this morning? You give yourself to the Spirit without limit, without restraint, and He will give you Jesus. He will glorify Jesus in you and through you without limit and without restraint. That's John 16 and verse 14. Back up just a few verses to verse 7. The Holy Spirit, He glorifies Jesus, He does. And this morning we add to it, if you will, the work that He does. We're going to say it, sort of summarize it simply this way. The Holy Spirit, He makes all the difference. And here, at least in part, why? John 16 and verse 7. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. We just pause for a moment and consider that. Jesus says it's good that He goes. Think for a moment. When would we ever say that? When would we ever think that? It's good that Jesus leaves us. It's good that Jesus is going away from us. No way, not ever. Us on our own without Him, that can't possibly be good. Not ever. It's interesting, this, but I tell you the truth phrase. It's sort of, this might shock you. You're maybe not going to believe this, but it's the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Do you hear that? Do you understand that? It's unbelievable. Listen, better than having Jesus with us is having the Spirit in us. I really think it's one of the most amazing verses of Scripture. I really do. Do you understand what Jesus is saying? Better than Jesus in this pew, right there in that spot for us all to see. Better than Jesus right there. We could come and touch Him. We could sit next to Him. We could talk to Him, meet Him out in the foyer. This is what Jesus says. Better than Him here among us is His Spirit within us. Some of us get a little uncomfortable when talk of the Holy Spirit begins. But do you hear what Jesus says? Not the preacher, not the Pentecostal crazies. It's what Jesus says. You see it in your Bible just as I see it in mine. It's good for you. It's better for you that he goes, because if he goes, then the counselor, the Holy Spirit, can come. If you tend to think that this Holy Spirit stuff is just too much, and you tend to think better to set him aside and just have Jesus, then you tend to think contrary to how Jesus thinks. And I might remind you, Jesus thinks and Jesus knows better than you. He knows best, and his best, him to go so the Spirit can come. It's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And here it is, the difference the Spirit makes because of the work of the Spirit that he does. When he comes, that's the Spirit. He, the Spirit, will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This, our message this morning. This word convict, it's to expose, it's to make known. Maybe the best, more complete idea of the word, it's to convince. So this is what the Spirit does. He convicts of sin. He exposes. He makes known the sin. He convinces of the sin. Listen, it's true. Hear me this morning, dear brother, dear sister. We need the Spirit convicting us. Everyone in this room, it's true, no matter where you are in your walk with Jesus, no matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, no matter who you are, you need the convicting and the convincing, the exposing of sin, work of the Spirit in your life. Sin brings death. You need the Spirit convincing, exposing, convicting, making known. Listen, my brother. Listen, my sister. That's bringing death into your life. We've got to get rid of that. We've got to deal with that. That's got to go. All of us need his work doing that in us. I don't say it to bring condemnation. I say it because it's true. There is that the Spirit would convict you of this morning. Listen to me. It's true. Sin in your life, something you're doing that you shouldn't be doing, something that you're not doing that you should be doing. You understand? Both are sin, right? The Bible makes clear, if you do something you shouldn't do, that's sin. But if you don't do what you should do, that's also sin. Maybe it's compromise. Something you've allowed that you shouldn't have allowed. Ground that you've given up. Righteousness, holiness that you've forfeited. Worldliness, you're not living right. You're not acting right. You're not talking right. You're looking too much like the world and not at all like Jesus. There is that the Spirit would convict you of this morning. So hear the question, would you let him? Would you let him do his exposing, convicting, and convincing of sin work in you? I don't know the conviction you need, only that you need the conviction. We need the Spirit for that, without limit, without restraint. Listen, let the Spirit glorify Jesus in you like that. Yes, let him also convict you of sin in your life like that. Maybe with that thought, then, we would add this, without limit, without restraint, and without argument. Let him convict you. Let him expose, let him make known, let him convince you of that should not be in your life. One of the definitions, one of the thoughts related to sin, it's missing the mark. You're missing the mark. You're not hitting the target. And you know, this is true. Our typical response, well, it's close enough. Well, it's not that bad. You know, I only missed the target by just this little bit. Look at them over there. They missed the target by way further than me. I'm not so bad. I'm doing all right, I think. Do you understand? We need the Spirit's conviction. We need the Spirit convincing us of the sin. Jesus is the standard. Looking like him is the call of our Christianity. We need the Spirit exposing, convicting, convincing us of all the ways, of all the areas of our life where we don't look like Jesus, where we're not holy, not righteous, not being perfect even as He is. You understand? This is the difference, all the difference that the Spirit makes. He convicts us. He convinces us of the sin that has to go so we can live our lives as we're supposed to, as children of God who look just like Jesus and are holy just like the Father. Before we move on, there's a different perspective here as well. In John 16 and verse 8, this is what the Spirit does. He convicts of sin. He convinces of sin. Verse 9 is the explanation. Look at it in verse 9. Why the conviction of sin? Because men do not believe in me. This is the work of the Spirit. He convinces people of sin so that they see they're a sinner. And mostly so that they see then that they need a Savior. I really believe it. The hardest person to reach, the hardest person to talk to about Jesus, the Savior, who would be their Savior, the hardest person is the one who doesn't think they're a sinner. Because they don't think they need a Savior. Do you know such people who excuse away their sinner identity because they're not as bad as others have been? Excuse away their sin because they do, or at least they try to do, more good than bad? Do you know them? Those who abuse and manipulate God's love, thinking themselves good for heaven with no regard for their sin or their sinful state. God is a God of love. God loves people. Surely He'll let us all in. Surely He'll not let anyone go to hell. What kind of loving God would do that after all? Do you know them? They grew up in a Christian home, used to go to church, know a lot about Jesus, and identify themselves by that rather than their sin and their sinful condition. Do you understand? Listen, this is true. No matter the home you grew up in, no matter the Christian influence surrounding us, no matter how much we know about Jesus, no matter even the good people we would be, we would try to be, listen, the Bible is clear in identifying us by none of those things, rather instead by our sin. We are not good people. We are sinners. I don't say it to be rude or to be mean. Your neighbor is not good people. They're a sinner in need of a Savior. The guy at work who helps out and who does so much and he's so kind and he's so gracious. You've got to hear me this morning. He's not good people. He's a sinner needing a Savior. Maybe in many ways, it's not so much the problem how the world has begun to view itself as much as it is how the church has begun to view the world. Oh, they're good people. That's going to be kind of weird if I go and try to tell them about Jesus, that He would be theirs. They're good people. I think maybe they'll make it to heaven. Hopefully they'll get things figured out before they die so that they go to heaven. In the meantime, we begin to categorize and we miss all around us, people stepping into eternity with no knowledge of Jesus. Because while they were here, we categorized them as good people and thought it odd to confront them about sin and sinful stuff and the need for a Savior. One says this, the Holy Spirit will expose sin and unbelief in order to awaken a consciousness of guilt and a need for forgiveness. And with that exposed and awakened in us, the Spirit's work then to turn us to Jesus, who would forgive the sin, who would take away the guilt, and be for us our Savior. Do you understand this morning? You were never knowing you were a sinner. You were never turning to Jesus to be your Savior, except that the Spirit was at work in you, convicting you of sin. Do you understand? Listen, saved brother, saved sister, sanctified and cleansed, on your way to heaven, you were never knowing Jesus apart from the convicting work of the Spirit. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. Here's Jesus. Do you understand? Surely it's true. He, the Holy Spirit, he really does make all the difference. Listen, can I encourage you? Can I remind you? This is what your lost husband, your lost wife, son, daughter, grandchild, brother, sister, niece, nephew. This is what your lost friend, neighbor, colleague. This is what they need. They need the Spirit. Listen, you can tell them they're a sinner needing a Savior, and rightly, lovingly, you should. But only the Spirit can convince them of that. You understand? When you talk to them, as you witness to them, listen to me. You don't have to worry about having all the right words. You don't have to worry about finding the creative and the genius argument that's going to win the day and convince them, oh, I do need Jesus. You don't need to have all the answers. Some of us paralyzed in fear because we're afraid of unasked questions that we might not have the answers to. So rather than reach out at all, we do nothing. You don't have to have all the answers. You need only this: the Spirit's anointing and the Spirit's power on you and in you, because no matter your words, your argument, your answers, it's Him that will convince people they're a sinner and they need Jesus to be their Savior. This is how you pray for the lost. This is how you pray for the sinner you know. This is the work of evangelism that you do in prayer. You pray, Holy Spirit, convict them of their sin so that they can believe on Jesus. This is what your lost loved one needs. It's what you need when you talk to them. It's what you need when you pray for them. The Holy Spirit, because truly, He does make all the difference. Verse 8, He convicts, He exposes, He makes known, He convinces of righteousness. I believe this is true, sort of sign of the times in last days living. Ours is a very gray and only getting more and more gray kind of world. What's right? What's wrong? What matters? What doesn't? Isn't that the question? Even in the church, our own lives, is this right? Is that wrong? Or is that right and this wrong? It used to be so clear, we hardly know anymore. Everything's so diluted and convoluted, we don't even know. Does this matter? Is this important? Or not really? We're not sure. You have to hear me this morning. There are some that want to argue that the work of the Holy Spirit was reserved for the New Testament church, that because of the Word and because of what the Spirit began and did then, He's not needed today. But I would say, no way. To navigate life out there, life that is and is only going to get more and more confusing and more chaotic, the Holy Spirit is needed more today than ever before, because now more than ever before, we need His convicting and His convincing of what's right and of righteousness. He shows us that. He convinces us of that. He spurs us on to that. In John 14 and verse 26, we read this: but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. How can the Holy Spirit teach you all things except that He knows all things? He does. He knows everything about everything. He knows the answer to every question. He knows all Jesus has said and all Jesus wants to say to you. And He, that being the Spirit, listen now, lives inside of you, with you, to teach you all those things, to remind you of all the Jesus things, and to convince you of all the right things. If you want to know anything about anything, He knows. So do you understand what's right, what's wrong? What matters, what doesn't? In this gray, confusing, chaotic world, He knows. He reveals it to us, convinces us and convicts us of the right and the righteous. He does make all the difference. I'm telling you, you go out into that world, you better go in the Spirit's anointing and in the Spirit's power, lest you get lost in the confusion and chaos and grayness, and your life becomes compromised at every turn and looks nothing like Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit convincing you, this is the way. Walk here. Walk it. No, that's not the path. That's not the righteous thing. That's not the right thing. This is it. This is where you live. This is what you walk in. In Romans 8, we read this in verse 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts, listen now, He knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Do you understand this morning? No matter the gray, the confusing, the chaotic, God's will for you, living right and in righteousness, is clear. And it's the Spirit that reveals and prays into existence that will for your life. Maybe best to say it this way. God's will for your life. That is the right and that is the righteousness that you need to live in. And it's the Spirit that will convict and convince you of that so that you live in that. His will. God's will for you. Just the truth this morning. Some of us are not doing right. Some of us are not making right decisions. We're not doing what God would have you to do. Interesting exercise to look at the things in your life, to break it all apart. Would God really want me doing this? Would God really want me talking like this? Would God really want me acting like this? Would God really, is this God's will for my life? Responding like this? Responding like this in anger, responding like this in frustration. Is this God's will for my life? He wants me to be angry. Yes, Denny, I want you to be angry. It's my will for you. Please respond that way. I'm praying that you'll respond like that. Is that God's will for me? My immersion in the things of this world, in the ways of this world. So when my mind is polluted by the world, my life so polluted by the world, this is God's will for me? It's an interesting exercise to begin to break apart your life and ask yourself that kind of question, the reality that all of us would understand, maybe even in this very moment, we're just not living in God's will like we ought to be. Some of us have brought the gray into our spirituality, into our walk with the Lord. We're not living in righteousness. What we need this morning is the convicting and the convincing work of the Spirit. We need the reminder of the things that Jesus said. We need the revelation of God's will. This is the truth, not in an appropriate kind of judgment or with a holier-than-thou kind of attitude, just the truth, the real way it is. Some of us can identify in the life of a brother, life of a sister in our church family. We can identify that it's not right, not righteous in them. And listen, though we're not ever to be afraid to speak the truth in love, don't ever be afraid of that. It's good for us to recognize this morning that maybe the best thing that we could do for that brother, for that sister, not doing right, not living right, the best thing we could do would be to pray for them, that the Spirit would be at work in them, that the Spirit would be at work convicting and convincing them of what is right and righteous. We can tell them, but only the Holy Spirit can convince them. That's what He does. That's why He makes all the difference for you, for me, for the brother, for the sister, for the church. Again, there's a different perspective here as well. Verse 8, it's what He does. He convicts, He exposes, He makes known, He convinces of righteousness. Verse 10 is the explanation now of this. Look at it. Because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. The question sort of arises, what does that have to do with righteousness? What does the Holy Spirit convicting and convincing me of what's right and righteous in my life and for my life, what does that have to do with Jesus going to the Father? Jesus has gone to him, sits at his right hand. And what does he do there? He intercedes for us. He's our advocate. He speaks for us on our behalf. The devil condemns. The devil accuses. Jesus speaks up for us. Oh, but Father, they're with me. Some of you right now, the devil is accusing you before the Father. How are you going to let them in your church? Don't you remember their story? You saw how they talked yesterday, and you're going to let them just come prancing on into the church? That's your church. God, shouldn't you kick them out? Don't you need to let them know how terrible and awful and how little now you love them because of yesterday? This is what the devil's doing right now before the Father. Some of you being accused at this very moment. But Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father and he intercedes for you. He's your advocate. Oh, but Father, they're with me. Oh, but my blood has washed away all the sin. Jesus is at the right hand and he speaks on our behalf. What does the Father do in response to that? What does the Father do by way of what Jesus has done for us? He accepts us, and in accordance to Scripture, he clothes us with the righteousness of Jesus. So while the devil accuses, Jesus intercedes. So when the Father looks, what? In my church? They talk like that and they're going to try to come. Where are they? And he looks in this place and all he sees, people clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. That's all the Father sees when he looks here this morning. Your life in Christ. You are clothed then in him and in his righteousness. So what does the Spirit do? He convinces you that you're a sinner needing a Savior, but when you turn to the Savior, the Spirit convinces you that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you, and that in him and because of him, you are clothed with the righteousness of Christ and counted as righteous in the eyes of the Father. The Spirit convinces you that you are accepted by God. Are you convinced of that this morning? Some of you that had a rough week, are you convinced? Some of you that had a rough past, are you convinced? Accepted by the Father, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit, he makes all the difference. Not only so that you know the right to do and the righteousness to live in, but as well so that you know, so that you're convinced of this, Jesus is at the right hand, interceding, advocating. In response to that, the Father has clothed you. The Father has accepted you, despite the lies of the devil that would tell you otherwise. The Spirit convinces you of your righteousness and your acceptance by the Father in Christ. If you're not convinced, listen, you need the Spirit's work in you. Let him do his convicting and convincing work in you. Let him do that in you, watch now, without limit, without restraint, so that without limit, without restraint, you live in your identity in him, in Christ. You are not you because of you. You are you because of what he has done for you. Do you understand? No, that's the best way to say that. But do you understand this morning? You are not you just because you. You are you because of him. And in him, your life not defined by you. Your life defined by him. And what he's done in you and what he's done for you. Let the Spirit convince you of that. And oh, see the difference that will make. The difference he makes. Quickly, once more, verse 8. The Holy Spirit convicts, exposes, makes known, convinces of judgment. One day we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to have to give an account. The Holy Spirit convinces you of that. About to say that, about to do that, about to respond like that, about to treat them like that, you might hear His voice. You know, just a reminder, there's coming a day of judgment. Just a reminder, if you say that, if you do that, if you treat them like that, respond like that, you're going to have to give an account. Maybe better not to do that. One says it simply this way: the Holy Spirit is not just for speaking in tongues. He also makes you shut up, apologize, sit down, and examine yourselves. And that's because judgment is coming. When you hear His voice, when you sense His prompting that maybe you shouldn't, maybe you ought not to say that, maybe you ought not to do that, He's doing His work. He's doing His convicting and convincing work of judgment. Listen. Listen to Him when He does that work in you. For the believer, really, judgment for us is more related to reward. In other words, it's the things we did here on earth that are deemed worthy and result then in eternal rewards in heaven. In that sense, consider it this way: the Spirit convincing you that the day of judgment, the day of reward, is coming. You may hear His voice. Neglecting the opportunity to help the poor because you have other plans. You might hear Him. You know. Hey, just a reminder. Judgment day is coming. Reward day is coming. Your other plans, helping the poor, which one results in eternal rewards? Maybe you ought to do that instead of the other. Storing up for yourself treasure here instead of there, you might hear Him. You know, that treasure will get you stuff here, stuff that will rust away, the moth eat away, the thief take away. The other, though, oh, that's eternal reward in heaven. You might want to rethink the decision you're making, where you're putting your reward. Listen, when you sense Him, when you sense His promptings to do something, to help, to minister, to encourage, to visit, to reach out, to share your faith, to give, to be involved, He's doing His work. He's convincing you of judgment, a coming day when the things that you've done will pass through the fire, and the wood, the hay, the straw, stubble stuff will be burned up. The Spirit's convincing work then in you, so that on that day it's not all burned up for you, but rather instead there's the gold and precious stone stuff that makes it through the fire, that endures, and that's rewarded. He's doing His work. He's convincing you of judgment. Listen now. He's ensuring for you reward on that day. Next time you sense the Spirit's prompting, why don't you go pray for them? Why don't you send them a card? Would you remember this? He's preparing you for a day of reward, so that on that day, you receive from the Lord for that you've done while here on this earth. Again, there's a different perspective. Verse 8, it's what He does. He convicts of judgment. Verse 11, the explanation. Again, look at it. Because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Again, the question. What does that have to do with the coming day of judgment for us? Simply put, that's true. The Spirit would work to prepare us for eternity. The context of John 16 is really this: the Spirit convinces us of Satan's judgment. He's the prince of this world. He's the one who stands condemned. Really, then, even the greater reminder: the Spirit convinces us of Satan's defeat at the cross. In Colossians chapter 2, God stripped the spiritual rulers and powers of their authority. With the cross, He won the victory and showed the world that they were powerless. If you don't think the devil powerless, you need a little bit more the convincing work of the Spirit in you. If you think he's too big, bad, and strong, and you can't overcome his temptation, you can't overcome his sin, you can't overcome the discouragement, you can't overcome the grief, you can't overcome the depression, you can't overcome the despair, you can't overcome the bondage, you can't, because the devil's just too much. Listen to me. You need some of the convicting and convincing work of the Spirit in your life. He has been rendered powerless. One says it this way: Satan's doom is sealed. He may be active still, but he sails a sinking ship and he rules a ruined domain. You have to hear me this morning. You have the victory. You can overcome sin, Satan, and this world, because in Jesus, in his work at the cross, the prince of this air stands condemned, the devil is defeated, and you are more than a conqueror. Listen, I'll tell you that this morning, but it's the work of the Spirit to convince you of that. Let him do that work in you today without limit. Can you imagine? A church of Jesus Christ, without limit, without restraint, going to face the devil, the prince of the air in this world, knowing that in Jesus we have the victory and he is defeated. Can you imagine a church invading this world that without reservation, without restraint, without question, without doubt, let the Spirit convince them of that, that is the truth. When he comes, that's the Spirit. He, the Spirit, will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. This is work. Convinces you you're a sinner needing a Savior. And when you turn to the Savior, he convinces you that you're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. And still more, he convinces you then that you have victory over the enemy, because in Jesus, the enemy's been defeated and now stands condemned. Do you understand? Do you understand this morning? Oh, for sure it's true. For sure he does. The Spirit makes the difference. The Holy Spirit makes all the difference in us and for us. Father, I pray, would you take my words, inadequate as they would be, and would you let them to come alive inside of us, that we can know this morning, that we can know, that we know, that we know, that we know, without question, without doubt, without any kind of compromise. God, we know it. We stand on it. We believe in it. We live in it. That the Spirit makes all the difference in us and for us. Jesus, would you help us to know that this morning? Would you help us to know that this morning? Would you speak that to our hearts? Heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. We just pause just for a few minutes. Give you an opportunity to respond to the message this morning, just where you sit. Would you do that? Maybe this morning you have need to deal with some sin. Maybe right now, would you just give place? Would you invite the Spirit? I know it can be uncomfortable, but would you invite the Holy Spirit to come and bring conviction? Make known to you the sin in your life. Would you invite him to do that? Would you just give a minute, heads bowed, eyes closed. Just we'll be quick. We won't take long. But would you just give a minute and let the Spirit do his convicting work in you? Maybe in righteousness. Listen, I wonder if there's some in the room this morning and you're wondering what's the right thing to do. Something has come up and you don't know what's right. What should I do? How should I respond? Listen, the one who knows everything and who would teach you all things lives inside you. Why are you asking yourself that question when the Spirit who knows the answer to it lives in you and has made himself available to be your teacher today?
Would you ask him? Would you let him guide you? Would you be sensitive? Would you let him prompt you this morning? Would you let him speak to your heart? This is the right thing. Let him answer your question. What's the right thing to do? How's the right way to respond? The boss at work, the neighbor has done this. The friend, there's been bitterness. There's been anger that's come out. What's the best way to respond? Let the Spirit tell you that this morning. Let the Spirit reveal God's will for you. Give him place this morning. Give him place to speak to you. Holy Spirit, speak to us, we pray. And would you listen and let him tell you, let him remind you that you have the victory. Some of you, listen to me, you would do well to not leave this place until you've heard it from the Spirit. His convicting and convincing work. You, my brother, have the victory. You, my sister, have the victory. Just give him place to speak that to you this morning before we leave. Speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, do your work. Do your work. Father, we thank you this morning that the one who makes all the difference lives in us. And I pray that, Lord, you help each of us to live our lives in the fullness of him, in the fullness of the Spirit. Help us in that, Lord, I pray. Help us to avail ourselves without limit, without restraint, to the work of the Holy Spirit, glorifying Jesus and convicting us, convincing us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you stand to your feet? I pray this morning that you'll let the Spirit be at work in you. Don't you sense it? Do you understand? Oh, he does make all the difference. We need him to make all the difference in us, don't we? Don't you sense that in your spirit? That we need him to make the difference in us and for us. And the good news is this, he does. He will. And I pray more and more as we're further and further in this series on him, the person, the work, and the ministry of the Spirit, you find him making more and more a difference in you, having more and more an impact, having more and more an influence in your life. I pray that for you, and I pray the Lord's blessing on you. Would you extend your hands to receive his blessing? Lord, I pray it this morning. I declare it on the authority of your word. I declare it. I speak it over this people. In the name of Jesus, the Lord bless you, my brother, my sister. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. And come on now, and fill you with his Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Receive that blessing this morning, would you?